Lacrosse fans, and welcome to another episode of Inside the Hive. It's episode 10. It's a playoff edition episode of Inside the Hive here. Jake Elliott alongside Alec Shimke of MNSwarm.com. And Alec, a couple of good guests coming up tonight for this playoff edition of Inside the Hive. Josh Gillum and Joel Henry will join us.
Yeah, two young forwards that have played absolutely outstanding the past couple of games for the Swarm. Joel Henry picking up his first hat trick last weekend in this Swarm 16-13 win against Colorado. And what can you say? We've won four straight games. It's an exciting time to be a Swarm fan.
Absolutely. We're on a roll, and that's exactly what you want to be doing heading into the playoffs. And going up against a team that we met last Saturday, we'll talk about that game as we move along here. But let's get a quick recap of what happened in the week that was the final week of the regular season in the National Lacrosse League, as it was Rochester handing Philadelphia another loss as the Wings continue to slide heading towards the playoffs. Not a good sign in Philadelphia there as they got off to that quick start. And we're looking good midway through the season, and this back half of the season has been problematic for the Wings.
Yeah, you have to be frustrated if you're a Wings fan right now. Obviously, you started out the season 7-4 and then finished at 7-9. Two of those losses coming against the Swarm, and then they just can't seem to beat the Nighthawks. That's their Achilles heel, and they're going to be paired up with them again in the first round of the playoffs. Really interesting storyline there. You know, can they get that win, snap a five-game losing streak? But I think more importantly, just, you know, beat the Nighthawks, Jake.
Yeah, we'll get to the playoff matchups momentarily here. But another game that took place in the final week of the regular season was Toronto that hands Edmonton another loss, a tight one in this one. 12-11, the Rock beat the Rush. Billings sets an assist record for the league and comes up just a couple of points short in the scoring race behind John Grant Jr. that we'll talk about momentarily as well. But what a season for Garrett Billings in a Toronto Rock uniform. Is really, he's in the running for MVP talks this season.
No, absolutely. I mean, everyone was talking about Jr. obviously this season, deservingly so, but Billings put up 114 points. Now only sits 2 points shy of the record of John Grant's point record at 116. But Toronto finishing the season on a strong note. They locked up the number one seed there in the East at 9-7. And again, the only team that Minnesota didn't play this season, and the Swarm there in the Rock tied with the third best record in the league at 9-7.
And Buffalo finishes up their season with a thrilling overtime victory against the Washington Stealth, who will be the team that is out of the playoffs this season. But a thriller there between Buffalo and Washington in the season, a 17-16 high-scoring affair there in Washington. It sees John Tavares and kind of snuck up out of nowhere as JT. I mean, he's not going to catch anybody by surprise, but finishes second in the league in goals with 41. And just amazing for the ageless wonder John Tavares to be still up there playing at that kind of level at his age.
Right. I mean, he finished the game with a hat trick. It seems like he keeps getting better and better each year. And, I mean, you got to wonder how many years the guy has left. But at this rate, it seems like he can play for another 5-10 years. But also, Lewis Radcliffe putting up 7 goals in that game. Swarm fans remember that number last year. Ryan Benesch did that against the Stealth, put up 7 goals. A very rare feat. I believe that's a season high in the league this year. And, you know, Washington obviously had a disappointing season, but finished pretty strong there against Buffalo, putting up 16 goals, just coming up short there by 1 goal.
Yeah, strong performance by Lewis Radcliffe as the Stealth will finish up the year and have to watch the playoffs. And the final game of the week that took place, the game on CBS Sports Network, what an exciting game it was inside the Hive in Minnesota as the third time that the Swarm matched up against the Mammoth. And a game that we never trailed in that one, Alec, a 16-13 victory for the Swarm over the Mammoth, and a game that kind of saw it all, a couple of scraps, some great saves, a high-scoring affair, some big hits, and, of course, John Grant Jr. gets his 6 points and edges out John Tavares for the record with 116 points in 14 games for John Grant Jr.
Yeah, you just kind of had the feeling watching that game early on, even just the first minute or two, that, you know, Minnesota was going to win that game. You could just tell they had more energy in that game. Colorado, you know, granted was missing a few key players, but, you know, the Swarm wanted it more, and it definitely showed. Like you said, they didn't trail at 1 point in the game. 10 different players scored goals for the Swarm. Again, the offense, very well-rounded, and defensively, Tyler Carlson had a great game in that.
Yeah, Carlson gets the win in that one, and we'll get to the coach's comments briefly here too, but kind of found it interesting, Joe Sullivan saying that he might have to tip his cap towards Carlson getting the start in the playoffs after that performance against Colorado, although he did allow 13 goals in that one, was very solid in net, and it's going to be a real tough decision for the management and coaching staff to decide who goes in goal for that game coming up as Colorado. As you mentioned, Henry with the hat trick, same for Benesh, as he continues to get stronger after coming back off the injury. Another strong game from Callum Crawford as well. So good things and good signs moving towards this playoff matchup coming up this Saturday against Colorado, as the playoff matchups are set in the NLL. It'll be Calgary and Edmonton that will battle for the fifth time this league. Alec, who you like in this one, Calgary versus Edmonton?
I want to say Edmonton just because it's so hard to beat a team that many times. But, Calgary has been the most consistent team this season. Just the gritty play that they bring at 12-4, they finished regular season. I'm going to have to go with Calgary there. But, Edmonton's defense, you certainly can't count them out, with the talent they have there. Unfortunately, they're playing against a team that has a better defense, though, in Calgary.
Yeah, it's going to be, they're at home. The Roughnecks at home have been strong, and they've kind of had Edmonton's number this year. But the way this season has gone, you just never know who's going to come up big in the playoffs. And it would not surprise me to see Edmonton show up and maybe hand Calgary a loss. And if we're able to get past Colorado, a game we're going to talk about momentarily here, but that would allow us to host the Western Final. So, I kind of got to feel like we're pulling for Edmonton in this one to upset Calgary, but we'll see what happens in that one. And, of course, you mentioned Rochester and Philly will match up again here in the playoffs, and Rochester really has had Philadelphia's number all season long, so I got to go with Rochester in this one. How are you feeling on that one?
Yeah, I think Rochester, again, they've had their number. Philly's in a slump right now. I kind of see the Nighthawks there with, their offensive power pulling that one out. And Jake, kind of a really interesting game. A lot of people probably might have pictured this one as a division final game, Toronto and Buffalo, two storied franchises meeting there in the first round. How do you see that one playing out?
Well, these two teams absolutely hate each other, and they're both veteran-laden teams, and Buffalo, has had a very up-and-down season. They've won games that people thought they were going to lose, and they've lost games that people thought they were going to win, and I guess they've been trending the right way, moving towards the playoffs. And, Toronto locked up that number one spot, so that game's going to be in the ACC, which is definitely going to help them. But this is going to be a fantastic lacrosse game, and one I think is going to come right down to the final seconds of this one. But I got to give the edge to Toronto in this one with that championship experience and playing on their home floor. I got to give the edge to the Rock here.
Yeah, Jake, what if, Buffalo does pull this one out? Obviously they've had a rough season. You win that game, and then you're playing against Rochester and or Philadelphia, two other teams that finished 7-9. And I would have to kind of give the nod to Buffalo again there. But we mentioned this last week in the show. These playoffs are so wild. I mean, Buffalo could very easily find themselves there in the running for the Champions Cup.
Yeah, it's like we said last week, Alec. That I'm sure that every team that has qualified for the playoffs feels like they could make a run to the Champions Cup, and you got to include us in that discussion as well, as we're probably the hottest team in the National Lacrosse League going into the playoffs with that four-game winning streak, and coming off that victory over Colorado, a team that we had yet to beat during the regular season, and the boys probably have to be pretty confident moving in towards the playoffs. And Colorado, coming down the stretch after getting off to that very hot start, have kind of stumbled a little bit coming into the playoffs. So this could be an upset in the making here for Minnesota to take down Colorado on the road here this Saturday.
Yeah, it's all about momentum heading into the postseason at this time of the year, right? So Minnesota coming in, having won four straight games, Colorado dropping two. As much as it sounds like you want to give us a nod, but Colorado's going to come out hungry too. And, if they get guys like Kevin Prout back, John Sullivan, that's only going to help them. I think, Joe Sullivan and the coaches are prepared. It's going to be a tough atmosphere in Denver at the Pepsi Center. I've heard that the game's going to be sold out. But, Minnesota has a lot to prove. They've had a lot to prove all season. They've proved everybody wrong. And, I certainly think this is a game that we can come in and, with the right mindset, we can pull out with a win.
Yeah, and speaking of Joe Sullivan, of course, it's the NLL Coaches Conference call here in the National Lacrosse League today. So let's get the coaches' comments of Joe Sullivan and the Colorado coach, Bob Hamley. Here are the coaches' comments.
We knew what to expect from Colorado, and they did that. I mean, they got 13 goals on us. They're a real potent offense. I don't expect Levis to allow 16 goals this weekend. He's a great goalie. He's had a career season, so we expect them to be a lot tighter than what we've seen this weekend, and probably come at us a lot harder. I'm sure they're going to be healthy and have some guys back in their lineup. So, you know, they're 11-5 for a real good reason, and they're a great team to play against. It's going to be a good weekend.
Well, it's a tough place to play, always has been, and obviously we're disappointed with the loss, but it's a new season. We're very proud of our guys with our 11-5 record, but it doesn't mean a whole lot right now, other than we get to play at home. We're excited about that and play in front of our home fans, and can't wait till Saturday.
And those were the coaches' comments of Joe Sullivan and Bob Hamley. And I believe our first guest is ready to come inside the Hive here. Let's welcome Josh Gillum. Josh, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thanks for joining us inside the Hive here, Josh. And how did you get your start playing lacrosse?
Actually, I started when I was 8 years old here in Peterborough, my hometown, born and raised, still living here to date, actually.
And there's a pretty strong Peterborough connection with the coaching staff, and part of the reason that you ended up in Minnesota. And you were drafted a couple of years ago, but I know Peterborough also pretty well known for their Peterborough Petes hockey team there. Did you play for the Petes when you were coming up through junior?
Well, I played for the AAA minor Petes and all through the system from when I started until my draft year. And I was drafted by the Peterborough Petes in the OHL, but I opted to go to the NCAA route to Dartmouth College.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. So kind of coming up through your youth, it was hockey in the winter and lacrosse in the summer, like so many other Canadian kids?
Yep, pretty much. Pretty much the same story. You grow up playing hockey, and then, lacrosse kind of comes into the mix, and you just kind of do one in the winter and one in the summer, and that's just kind of the way it goes, especially around here in Peterborough, where both are a pretty
prominent sports, yeah.
A pretty prominent sport, exactly.
So you end up down in Dartmouth. Maybe you can talk about how Dartmouth came around for you and how you end up there, and then maybe talk a little bit about your time down at Dartmouth.
Yeah, sure. Well, Dartmouth came along when I was actually playing lacrosse. I was playing under 19s in Winnipeg. We had a tournament out there, and I had already been drafted by the Peterborough Petes, but I didn't make it my first year. So I was just finished a hockey season playing juniors in Peterborough for the Junior Bees. And I went out, I was playing lacrosse, it was in the springtime, playing U19s, like I said, and the coach kind of approached me and kind of got me thinking towards Dartmouth College, and went down and visited. And then the next hockey season, I stayed down with the Junior Bees, and the Dartmouth hockey coach came along, and it just sort of rolled from there, and I ended up down there, and I loved it on my visits, and I got down there and signed myself up, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and, I had a chance to talk to you a little bit about that on the bus, and I know you mentioned there was a trip to Europe with the Dartmouth hockey team, and what was that experience like? You got to travel to Europe, and maybe talk about that trip a little bit, and where else has the sport of hockey been able to take you around the world?
Yeah, like you said, we got to go over to Europe. We went to Sweden and Denmark for a two-week venture just before Christmas. When the school was on Christmas break, we stick around and have our own Christmas tournament at the school, actually, which is held just after Christmas. So we had a few weeks before where we just hang around and practice, and our coach was able to schedule us a two-week venture in Europe, and it really opened my eyes to different places that hockey could take me, and which I ended up actually playing my past season in Germany, which was really great, and I'm thankful that my coach was able to get us over there to experience something different, get away from the normal things of hockey in North America, which, is great as well, and a great way to go, but I was able to see something different going overseas.
Now, what positions did you play when you're playing hockey? I know you're an offensive player in lacrosse, but what kind of hockey player were you, and what position did you play?
Same. As you get up in college, your role kind of changes just because of the dynamics of new guys coming in, or just the shift of teams, because you have classes, right? So graduating classes kind of leave, and you change your role. So, I'm more of a goal scorer and a point getter, but if you got to play the more of a grinder defensive role in a forward position, I've been able to change my game to play that as well.
Speaking with Josh Gillum inside the Hive here, and fans, we want to let you know the jersey auction for The Hive Cares Night is still going on here, and if you want to get online, visit mnswarm.com/hivecares and check out the jersey auction, as Josh Gillum's jersey is up there to bid on. I fully encourage you to do that. And you know, you made it to a fairly high level in hockey, Josh. You mentioned playing in Germany this past season, but things kind of topped out for you a little bit. Let's talk about how you kind of got to that breaking point and how you found your way back into Minnesota here with Coach Sullivan and Bobby Keese.
Well, I hopefully don't see myself sealing it out in hockey right now. I still want to pursue it a little bit, but you know, Sully and I have stayed in contact over the past few years, especially since they drafted me 2 years ago. And lacrosse has just been such a big part of my life. You know, I played both sports at Dartmouth as well. So, you know, I've just never really been able to give up one or the other. I'm often asked which one's my favorite sport to play, and it kind of just always lands with the answer that both are my favorite when I'm playing them. So when I finally came back this summer here, and I just said, you know what, I might as well just keep doing what I've always done and sign up and play lacrosse. So me and Sully were able to talk and get that done.
So does that mean another year of summer lax with the Peterborough Lakers? And it looks like they've loaded up that team. And I remember watching the first time I actually got to see a play, I believe it was back in 2009 in Coquitlam for the Man Cup, a Man Cup where I believe you were second on the roster behind John Grant Jr. in that Man Cup. And I kind of thought to myself, who is this Josh Killam kid? I've never seen or heard of this guy before, but there you were right up in the points. What was that Man Cup experience like for you? And are you going to take another run at it here with the Peterborough Lakers this summer?
Well, as far as the summer goes, it's still up in the air. I mean, obviously, it's a great team coming up. Like you said, they've made some great signings, and great guys are returning. So, you know, it's going to be hard to pass that up, but we'll get to that when it comes. And that Man Cup, you know, it was an amazing experience. I mean, I was able to play with some of the best guys in the game, the best guys in the game. And, every time you get to play a game and work and learn from guys like that, like Junior and Kolesky and the Evanses and everything that goes with that, the coaching staff and everything. So, you know, it was a great experience and really was able to elevate my game to see what it's like to play at that level.
Now, it seems to me, Josh, that we'll move into this year a little bit, that, you know, the first time coming in with Minnesota, getting your feet wet, you didn't really have any practices under your belt, but the last couple of games, you really kind of seem to be settling down a bit and starting to come into your own. Are you starting to feel a little bit more comfortable on the field, and is your confidence starting to rise with every shift you play right now?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I hadn't played a game in 2 years since my last go with the Lakers. And then, you know, when you pick the stick back up, there's a little bit of rest, a little bit of, you know, your game's just a little bit slower. But the last couple of games, I've felt a lot more comfortable. You know, I've gotten to feel more comfortable with the guys. I've made the practices the last few weeks. So, you know, getting the stick back in the hand and passing with everybody and just getting a feel for the new guys, the new situation has really made me more confident out on the floor and get back to what I was used to doing.
And we head into Colorado this weekend for a big playoff game. And by all accounts, the Pepsi Center is going to be sold out, 18,000, 19,000 strong. Mm-hmm. Mammoth fans there. Have you played in front of a crowd, maybe not just in lacrosse, but in hockey with that many people? And what's that experience going to be like for you? And maybe just to add on to that, Josh, what do you think that the keys are going to be to winning that playoff game in Colorado this weekend?
Well, that crowd is going to be an amazing crowd to play in front of. I don't think I've played in front of that many people in hockey or lacrosse, rather. But as far as the game plan for us, I mean, we just got to play our game. You know, we're confident in our game style right now. Then, you know, there's no reason for us to change what we're doing.
Now, we talked about lacrosse. You talked about hockey. Let's talk about what Josh Gillum likes to do in his free time.
Well, right now I'm working as a fitness hockey instructor, both on and off the ice, actually with the facility that I've trained at for the last number of years. That's what I do for my work. On my free time, I like to go to a cottage, relax, do some fishing, you know, just stay in shape and have fun.
Now, I've had a few female Swarm fans come up to me and ask about Josh Gillum. Is Josh Gillum on the market? You got a girlfriend, a fiance? What's going on with Josh Gillum's personal life?
with Josh Gill in personal life, I have a girlfriend right now, so I'm not on the market.
That's going to be disappointing to all our Lady Swarm fans, but make sure you get out on mnswarm.com/hivecares and bid on that Josh Gillum jersey, as we want to raise as much money as possible for the Randy Shaver Cancer Foundation and Research Foundation. So we talked about what's your summer. I think we got some questions from Alec here from some fans, so I'm going to turn it over to him. Josh, I appreciate you coming inside the Hive, and look forward to seeing you down in Denver in a couple of days.
All right, great. Thanks so much.
Well, Josh, we're going to start on Twitter. We had Joshua Pierce, at Pierce the Geek, tweet us a question. He writes, what are you going to do to get pumped up and beat Colorado on the road this weekend?
Well, you know what? That's pretty much a team question. You know, we get each other pumped up. We're a great team in the room, on the bus, and everything that goes with the whole team aspect. So we're really going to feed off of each other. And, you know, if you're not going to be able to get up to play in front of that many fans and in that kind of stage, you know, something wrong.
Now, this is your first year with the team, but you've probably heard this. You know, the team's 0-5 in the postseason. You know, how does the team, in your opinion, kind of plan on making history by winning their first playoff game this weekend?
Well, you know, we can't really worry about the past. You know, we've got a number of new faces on this team, and we're really on a roll right now, and we just really can't change anything. You know, there's nothing to worry about as long as we just keep playing our game and sticking to what we know. And right now it's working for us.
I forgot to read the name there on the last one. That was from John Hilpert on Facebook. We'll stick there. Joey Schmidt writes, if you could have any off-season career, what would it be?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. You know, maybe a coach. Coaching in the off-season, coaching some little kids would be great.
Is that coaching lacrosse or hockey?
Maybe both.
And a final question for you. This one's kind of fun. This one comes from Michael Orban. He's one of the guys that wears one of the fros at Xcel Energy Center. He writes, if you were an animal, what would you be and why?
Maybe a lion. Be the king of the jungle.
I knew you were going to say that, Josh, for some reason.
Well, Josh, thanks again for joining myself and Jake tonight on Inside the Hive. Again, it's great to have you here in Minnesota, and best of luck this weekend in your first career playoff game.
All right, awesome. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Josh. That was Josh Gillum, number 81 for your Minnesota Swarm. And once again, fans, make sure you go check out our website, mnswarm.com/hivecares, and check out that Josh Gillum jersey. And make sure you bid on that thing and raise some money here for Randy Shaver Cancer Foundation. As a pretty interesting story there, Alec, from Josh Gillum. You know, his life and his hockey and his lacrosse career have kind of taken him all over the place.
Yes, those dual athlete stories are always interesting. You know, you see the baseball, football ones, and obviously lacrosse and hockey is one that a lot of people aren't aware of. But, you know, both sports, you know, if you're a hockey player, you're playing lacrosse in the offseason or vice versa. You know, it takes a lot of athleticism to be able to play both sports, especially for Josh to come in that quickly. You know, without a lot of practice time, it's pretty impressive. And, you know, he scored a few goals here in his rookie season.
Yeah, it's something that a lot of Canadian kids do, but usually once they get to a certain age, you know, usually around that 14, 15-year-old mark, they kind of see their future in front of them, whether they're actually going to make it a serious go at hockey or whether they're going to focus their attention on lacrosse. And Josh has been able to kind of carry that a little bit further than most people, and that's because he's such a naturally gifted athlete, and he's a pretty special player, and you can tell that his game is really starting to round into form, and just in time for the big playoff game here coming up against Colorado this Saturday. And I believe our next guest is ready to come inside the Hive here, a little bit late albeit, but Joel Henry is on the line. Joel, are you ready to come inside the Hive?
Yeah, for sure, Jumbo.
How you doing, my man?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm just out here along the river fishing with the mockers. Billet just reeled one in.
Oh, good stuff. Is it a keeper?
Yeah, it's a keeper, that's for sure. Might have to put it on the barbecue tonight. I don't know yet.
And speaking of that barbecue, big dinner going down at Neverland last night as Ryan Benesch threw on the apron and the chef hat. How was that, having some fans over to Neverland for some dinner last night?
It was good. There was quite the feast there. There was a lot of steak and chicken, and we put on, or Ryan cooked up quite the feast, so it was awesome to have some fans over and get to meet them.
Yeah, I saw a little clip of that on Care 11, and good stuff there, and an excellent idea from Mr. Benesch himself, raised up towards $900 for cancer research. And speaking of cancer research, Joel Henry's jersey also available on HiveCares at mnswarm.com, so make sure you get on there and bid on Joel Henry's jersey as well, as Mr. Henry coming off his first ever hat trick in the National Lacrosse League. We'll talk about that a little bit, Joel, but first thing I want to know from you is, how did you start playing lacrosse?
Well, actually, it's been in my family for years. I'm third generation lacrosse players. My family grew up playing the Salmon Belly, so I started when I was four out in Delta, and then when my parents moved me to Alberta, my dad actually started the association that I played for out there, and then was lucky enough to come back to the island.
Yeah, that's interesting stuff, because I didn't realize that you were actually here before you went back to Alberta. I have down here that you're originally from Alberta, but apparently you spent or grew up or were born here in the Lower Mainland from my neck of the woods before making your trip to over to Alberta, and then you find your way back to Victoria. How did that come about? How did you go from being in Alberta back out here to Victoria? Did you have some previous connections?
Well, no, I was playing for a junior B team in Calgary or Rocky View, I guess, when I was 17, 18, and Danny Green, my junior coach, his brother was actually in the same area. He lives in Alberta from Airdrie. So he talked to my dad about me going out to the island when I was 19, and I definitely jumped at the opportunity, and it's brought me to where I'm at now.
Yeah, now you play with the Nanaimo Coastal Windows Timbermen, I guess I should call them, in the summer, just up the highway from Victoria, where you played your junior. But let's get back to Alberta for a little bit here, because this always seems to be something that people ask you, and I'm no different, because I just find this completely fascinating. But you've been a bull rider. Now, I don't know any other lacrosse players that have been a bull rider before, but maybe you can tell us how you got into that sport and how far did you take it, and where did you ever suffer any kind of serious injuries from that? Because I've seen some pretty horrific things come out of bull riding.
I definitely had my injuries. I grew up on a farm. Like, when my parents moved to Alberta, my dad kind of ran like a feedlot and stuff like that. So I just grew up around it, and he kind of got me interested in the sport. And so when I was 10, I started riding both, like, junior bulls, I guess you want to call them. They're just young. And then moved up from there to about 16, 17. I was getting on full-grown bulls. And as far as injury goes, I mean, they're minor in bull riding. I guess other people look at them as a little bigger injuries, but I've definitely, like, I've broke my sternum. I had a bull kind of fall on me once, and concussions, and dislocated an elbow. So nothing too serious, but stuff that definitely put me on the shelf.
Serious enough. Now, what's the magic number? Is it 9 seconds in bull riding? Is that what you're looking for?
Eight seconds, yeah.
And did you ever accomplish that feat on full-size bulls?
Yeah. No, I definitely I did that. I won some rodeos and some bull riding and stuff like that before. So I was definitely, I wouldn't say too successful at it, or else I'd probably still be doing it right now. But I definitely donated more money, let's put it that way, than took home. So.
Well, I'm thankful that you got out of that sport and got serious about the sport of lacrosse, and it hasn't really been a particularly easy road for you into the National Lacrosse League, as it's taken you a few cracks over the years to actually get on a roster. And, you know, you get drafted by Calgary and things didn't quite work out there, and then a tryout in Minnesota, and you're kind of told that it, you know, wasn't quite your time, and to you know, go put some weight on, get a little bigger, a little quicker. And you did that in the offseason with Callum Crawford. How big of an impact did that have for you, working out with him and actually making the jump and getting signed to that roster for Minnesota?
It's huge. I mean, it might fill his head up a little bit here, but he's definitely been, like, a huge part. Like, his whole family took me in and out in Ottawa there and made me, you know, feel like basically a little brother to them. And and training with him was awesome. Like, I got to, you know, see what it takes, because he's been in the league for, you know, 6-7 years now, so he knows what it takes, and that allowed me to definitely get a grip on what I needed to do, and instead of just kind of getting a personal trainer back home or somebody that doesn't really know about the sport, he knows exactly what to do and what to work on, so that was huge for me.
And, you know, with those previous failures, did there ever kind of come a time that you might think that, you know, maybe that you weren't ever going to make that league, or did it kind of just drive you more and more to try harder and to make that jump to get into the National Lacrosse League?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, first, like, when you get let go, it's not a great feeling, right? Everybody as, like, competitor and an athlete wants to, you know, they don't like getting told no, and it's not going to happen this year. So you have your doubts in your mind, and the best thing I found for me was just kind of even take a month or two away after that and then just refocus, and you know, my parents were huge in helping me keep pushing myself along, so that was big. I mean, you know, always a break is good. So.
And then you actually get, you know, you get on the roster, but you don't get in that first game. But let's talk about your first game, and what were the emotions going through your head before your first start in the National Lacrosse League?
A lot of emotions, nerves definitely were there, and it's more like being anxious just to, you know, once you get in and get hit that first time or touch the ball, kind of take you for the shot, you get settled back down and just realize that it's, you know, it is lacrosse, it's still just lacrosse. And but I mean, nerves were going off the handle there definitely before the first whistle.
Yeah, I can imagine. And you know, there's something else I'd always like to ask players is, when they score their first goal, and maybe you can talk about who you scored your first goal against and how it happened.
I scored it against, you know, our home opener there against Buffalo. Just kind of, I seen the shot, I had a shot and took it, and it kind of went up, bounced off the back of the boards, and I went forward for the rebound and ended up picking that up and kind of got the goalie off guard and kind of threw it through his legs. He wasn't really set, so it was a pretty cool feeling when it went in, though.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And speaking with Joel Henry here inside the Hive, and fans, don't forget to get on Hive Cares, mnswarm.com/HiveCares, and bid on Joel Henry's jersey. And similar to Josh Gillum, Joel, your confidence has seemed to be rising with every game that you do play in the league. And coming off of last Saturday's game, your first ever hat trick coming against the Mammoth. What was that like? You get all three goals in the first half. Hat trick in the first half, that's got to be a pretty cool feeling. But I guess the question I want to know is, what happened in half number two?
I don't know. I still had my shots and stuff like that. They just weren't going in for me. But anyways, I like got three of them out of the way. I was definitely looking forward for more. But lucky enough, we got a pretty good potent offense, and any eight guys can go off any night. So that's good.
Now, you and I during practice and shoot around, we're talking about getting a patent to Joel Henry goal celebration. Have you done any more thinking on that, and have you decided anything on anything for this Saturday?
Not yet. I mean, we're on our Muckers hike right now, so that's now when we start cranking it back up for the game on Saturday. We like to just unwind about Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, kind of that, and Wednesday start looking forward to it. So I'm sure I'll start thinking about it, and I'm sure you'll have some ideas for me in Colorado and shoot around again.
You bet I will. And speaking of the Muckers, let's talk about this for a little bit here, Joel. Is how did the Muckers all come around, and who came up with the name, and how did all this this talk and this start of the Muckers come around?
You know what? I honestly don't know who said it first or what happened to do it. But I mean, there's always been, there was me, Corbin Tao, and Jake Hard, and you know, our jobs. We're really, our focus is to, you know, bang bodies and take players, the defenders away from, you know, Ross and Benny and Croft and stuff like that. So we just kind of got turned Muckers in our head because we were just always in the middle and grinding and banging bodies. And it just went from there. So now we got Jordan McIntosh, who's a Mucker as well.
Yeah, well, you know, what can you say about Jordan McIntosh? I believe the second time in the last 3 weeks, transition player of the week. I don't know if he quite qualifies as a mucker, but they're at Neverland with you guys, and you're not going to put Suits and Benny in that department. So I guess That's we'll awesome. Let Mackie slide in there as a mucker. And, Joel, just about wrapped up here for you, but I saw you on Twitter last night, and I want to make sure you get the Twitter handle out there for the fans so they can follow you and interact with you on Twitter. So why don't you give the fans your Twitter handle before you go here?
Absolutely. It'd be great. I got to get my followers up, get up to Nick Billick. It's Joel_Henry94.
There you go. That's Joel_Henry94, and make sure you get on mnswarm.com/hivecares and bid on Joel Henry's jersey. I know Alec has a few questions from some fans here for you before we let you go, Joel, but I appreciate you coming inside the Hive and look forward to seeing you in Denver in a couple of days.
Sounds good. Take care.
Joel, we'll stick on Twitter here. I also asked this question to Josh Gillum, Joshua Pierce, at Pierce the Geek. Tweeted to both of you guys in the Minnesota Swarm. What are you going to do to get pumped up and beat Colorado on the road this weekend? He writes, we want another home game.
I mean, obviously, like, if you can't get pumped up for it, that's a huge problem. But, I mean, going into their barn, you know, there's going to be 18, 19,000 people there on live TV again. And we want to, like, you know, we got an awesome team here, and we've gelled. Everybody's gelled unbelievably well. So I think we're all going to be pretty pumped up, me especially, to get, you know, to get a win out of Colorado.
Switching gears now to Facebook, Joe Clark writes, when the season ends with the Swarm as champions, what will happen to Neverland?
Neverland, we'll all go our own ways into our other leagues, into our summer leagues, and we'll be playing against each other. But at the same time, I think we've built a pretty special bond here with the nine guys that are living there, so I'm sure we'll all stay in pretty close contact. I know on the West Coast there we have a camping trip planned for when the summer season winds down, so all the boys will be back out there.
And last question from you. This one comes from Michael Orpin, one of the Throw Bros at the Swarm Games. He writes, are you excited to see the Avengers, and which Avenger character would you be? I mean, you got Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, Hulk, Hawkeye, all those guys.
Which Avenger would it be? I'd probably have to go with Iron Man. I don't really know too much, but I have to say with Iron Man, just because I gotta take a lot of punishment and freeing Benny and Roscoe and those guys up. So I get banged up pretty good. So I'd like to think I gotta have tough skin.
Well, sounds good, Joel. We'll let you get back to some fishing. Hope you catch some big perch out there in Neverland.
Take care.
Thanks, Joel.
That was Joel Henry of your Minnesota Swarm, number 94, whose jersey can be bid on at mnswarm.com/hivecares. And just go to the jersey auction there to bid on Joel Henry's jersey. And again, Alec, we talk about some interesting stuff there from Joel. You know, he's moved around a little bit. He's been a bull rider and has battled a little bit of adversity before actually cracking the lineup in the National Lacrosse League. And it's good to see a guy like that finally start to have some success.
Yeah, he was one of the great stories coming out of training camp, obviously not having, you know, made the team last year and really put his head down and worked hard this offseason to make the team. You know, he's gelled really well with the guys in town and, you know, he's fit in nicely on the team this year. And then obviously all that hard work really paid off last week with that hat trick, and you know his confidence is building, and it's great to have guys like that entering the playoffs that are playing hot. I mean, you never know if Joel he'll put up another three or more goals again this week.
Yeah, and that's I think what has made our team as successful as it's been all season long is that if it's not Joel Henry, then maybe it's Corbin Town, and if it's not Corbin, then maybe it's Jay Card, and we've just got some pretty fantastic performances from guys all around the league all season, from around our team all season long, and you know, when guys try and key in on certain guys, other guys step up, and that's what makes our team so dangerous, I think, is a big playoff game coming up this Saturday against the Colorado Mammoth, the game that's, again, going to be featured on the CBS Sports Network and in front of a packed house at the Pepsi Center. Alec, this is going to be one exciting National Lacrosse League playoff game.
Yeah, before we get to the game, just want to say, too, real quick, that the game last week on CBS Sports Network, my opinion was outstanding, professionalism, and just how informative the broadcast was. A lot of fun to watch the game, just watching it afterwards, and they did a great job. And, you know, It's going to be another great broadcast this weekend. But, yeah, as you kind of touched on, it's going to be a hostile environment this weekend in Colorado. And I think definitely the best first-round matchup, I think, as far as records go. You're going to have two very competitive teams that both have a chance to, make a Champions Cup run. And neither one of those teams wants their season to end at this point in the year, having successful seasons.
Yeah, I actually haven't had a chance to see the CBS feed myself, but I look forward to checking that out. And I know, you put attach a name like CBS to any product, and you're going to get a top-notch production for sure. And we want to let the fans know that there's going to be a viewing party taking place in Minnesota at Cork's Irish Pub. So if you want to go to the game watch party, make sure you head down to Cork's Irish Pub, and you can join a bunch of other Swarm fans to have some fun down there and watch the playoff game on CBS. And a couple other things we want to mention here, Alec, and especially on a serious note here, a former Swarm player and a current Colorado Mammoth player in Sean Pollock has got some pretty disturbing and sad news that his wife, Jenna, who does live in Minnesota right now, has been diagnosed with breast cancer. And there's going to be an auction that's going to be taking place on the Mammoth website in support of her. And I know the lacrosse community is a very tight-knit group. And if you can do anything to help support the Pollock family in their time of need, I would fully encourage you checking out that website and doing whatever you can to help out the Pollock family.
No, absolutely. Sean and Jenna are two amazing people, and this is very sad news, and prayers are with the Pollock family as they go through this tough time. Again, just great people. You hate to see this happen to them at this point in their lives. And this Swarm, we've put up a couple items as well in that auction, a couple pink helmets from last year's Hive Cares Night. I know a couple Sean Pollock items. So there'll be some items that Swarm fans might be interested in as well. But again, best visit the Colorado website there.
Yeah, I know Jamie Shuchuk, a couple of items from him as well, now also a Mammoth player. So, yeah, just a quick note on that to try and help out. If you can do that, it'd be much appreciated. And, Alec, a couple other things before we go here. We still have a chance to host that playoff game. We're going to need a little help from Edmonton to take down Colorado, but how neat would it be to get our first playoff win in our franchise history over Colorado and then actually have a chance to host the Western Final?
Boy, that's the storybook that finish right there. And then you're playing a team in Edmonton that we've played twice this year, and have played them twice in overtime too. So you'd expect a very competitive game there. And obviously there's a lot of momentum building around town right now. We had two TV stations out at practice last night. We were on Care 11 last night with the Neverland Dinner. The local paper was writing about us as well today. So a lot of momentum is picking up. People are taking interest in this team and how well they're playing right now.
Yeah, a couple of minutes left inside the Hive here. And, I mentioned Joe Sullivan's comments on the conference call today that he might tip his cap towards Tyler Carlson. If you, Alec, were the head coach of the Minnesota Swarm, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Who do you start in goal?
To be honest, I really can't say anything right now. I don't want any of the coaches to come at me, but you can't go wrong with either guy. Tyler played great last week, and Kirk's numbers. I wouldn't be doing my due diligence, if saying this right now, unless I had seen them the rest of the week before game time, see their mental preparation. I think that's when, you make your decision on who to start. But, Dick, if you want to take a stab at it, I'll ask you the same question.
Well, I'll take the politically correct response myself and leave it up to the powers that it be, because it's been working all season long for them, and who am I to second-guess them? So whichever goaltender starts Saturday night, it's going to be the right decision either way, I'm sure, as we're just about running out of time here inside the Hive. So before we go, I want to make sure we get over our Twitter handles here. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Minnesota_Swarm, and you can follow us personally at Alec_Shimke. You can follow myself at PXP4Lax at twitter.com/PXP4Lax. Make sure you subscribe to Inside the Hive on iTunes. A big thank you to NLL Radio and MNSwarm.com for airing the show. That is going to do it for this playoff edition of Inside the Hive. Episode 10 is in the books. Next up, it's the Colorado Mammoths Saturday night. It's the playoffs here in the National Lacrosse League, and that will do it for us. For Alec Shimke, I am Jake Elliott, and for the fastest game on 2 feet, we'll see you inside the Hive.